How are you?
Great, how are you?
Doing great. Coming off of a couple days of some hot and heavy Halo action.
That's right.
Yes.
Very hot and heavy.
Yes. You dove into Halo Infinite multiplayer, right? What spurred this on?
I have an opening where I can play something, and I haven't yet engaged in the Halo multiplayer to the extent that I wanted to, or Halo Infinite. I already played the campaign, but... yeah, haven't done the multiplayer yet, and it's immediately great, awesome, immediately grabs you.
Oh, you got the battle pass right away.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I just heard you, Halo Bonk is similar to Traffic Bonk's father, which is just like a lot of yelling, a lot of cursing, and I'll just hear, God damn, fuck you! Like, you get heated in a way that I never hear or see
well,
you
get. Well, mostly it's self-directed. Mostly I'm just like, God, I fucking suck!
You said that today. We were in the middle of a match of a Tactical Slayer, and I looked at the leaderboard, and you were in first, and yet you were in the living room yelling about how much you sucked.
Well, it's just, I always get into these spats where I try to melee someone, and I'm always slightly too far away, and then he tries to melee me, and then misses, and then I try to melee him again, and I miss. And
it's
then,
this Three Stooges thing going on. Yeah.
It's losing those interactions that's the most frustrating, because you just feel like a fucking dipshit.
It's like, if I would have just done this, waited a half a second more.
Especially in Tactical Slayer, where if you have the drop on someone, you're in such a good spot, because there's no radar. But I fucking, it's just pride, man. I got up in there when I should have just scoped him out from far. And I paid the price.
I feel especially stupid if I'm trying to get a challenge done, which is like, get an attrition, get five, hits from behind or whatever. And it's like, God damn it, I had to drop on him. I could have just shot him. Like, why am I trying to get this challenge right now?
Yeah.
It's a detriment to my team.
Yeah. It's Well, attrition, you feel really bad when you die because it's like, there's a small pool of lives.
Oh, yeah.
You are, especially when you lose for stupid reasons, like when we, I should say me, because I did it again today, when the match starts and I take one step back for some godforsaken reason in that one map with the...
live fire?
Yeah, it has that, drop, that cliff, that's immediately behind the spawn point.
Yeah.
And I just die, and there's a life right there. And in attrition, every life counts.
Yeah, if it was Team Slayer, you'd just be like, oh, duh, I'm an idiot, and I'll wait 8 seconds or whatever. But, in attrition, it's like, oh, that's one of, 12 lives that we have.
Yeah.
Attrition's good.
It's
attrition's really good.
Attrition!
We both finished up the cyber event thing, and we got our laser mohawk things, and I think we immediately didn't like them. And so we swapped it back out. We're the visor squad right now.
I like the visor, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the visor. I'm not a mohawk gal.
No. You missed the samurai event thing where it had the, have you seen the, Japanese armor?
And, I'm not a big fan.
I don't really use it much.
Yeah, I like that armor in when it's, appropriate.
Yeah, yeah.
Appropriate context.
Sure.
But I don't think it works. It looks too different.
And I think that a lot of the stuff you're getting in the battle pass and everything doesn't even really attach to that. Mm. So it's like, I want the stuff I can actually use, you know? But we got all our challenges today.
We got all of our challenges.
The ultimate, we got ourselves a skin for the shotgun.
It's very nice skin.
It is very nice. We'll think of our successful week every time.
Yeah, and I don't even really so much care about weapon skins, but it's like just having that carrot. It's like, all right, I have a reason to try to get this challenge. It's just so good about, every match you do, you're getting 50 XP no matter what, right?
Yeah.
So it's like you always have a reason to do it.
Well, when we first, or when it first launched, you weren't playing then, but it was real bad, but they fixed it like this because I think it was like you got the 50 XP like once a day or something like that. But I think that it was just challenges after that. And so now it's like you get 300 for your first match of the day. I think you get like 150 or 200, like it goes down and then it limits at 50 is the lowest it'll go.
Right.
So you do always feel like you're getting something.
It's smart. Yeah. It always feels like you're making progress towards something.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Feels so good. It's just really fun. It brings me right back to being a kid and playing a bunch of Halo 2.
Yeah. It's classic Halo. Mm-hmm. It really feels like classic Halo multiplayer. And I feel like more recent ones, I played 4 and 5 and it was fine, forgettable, I would say. But they would try all the fancy stuff with the card packs and the different like big modes and stuff like that. And like, this is pretty straightforward. Although they introduced these new playlists and stuff like Fiesta and all that.
Fiesta's great.
Fiesta's really fun. So yeah, I hope this game is a big thing for a while, and it's just something we can check in from time to time.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, I don't see why we wouldn't have that weekly reason to check in at least, you know, a few times a week to get those challenges.
Yeah, or anytime there's an event or like a new mode or new map or something. But like, I'm looking forward to Monday there being a new set, and I'd love to get back in there with you. Mm-hmm. We play in two different rooms, her in the living room, me in my studio, and we just leave the doors open and we just yell at each other down the hall.
Yeah, Discord's so great, but have you tried just yelling at your partner from down the house?
Yes. Can't see your screen, but I can hear it. Every once in a while, I'll hear like the female Spartan voice, and then I'll be like, I'll hear you curse, or I'll see it pop up like someone hit bonk, you know? Yeah, I look forward to doing a lot more of that with you. Yeah, it's very fun. It's
super fun.
Yeah. Video games, huh?
Hell yeah.
Pretty good. How about movies also?
They can be good as well.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. How about one including a little bear?
Oh, tell me all about it.
Paddington 2.
Paddington 2.
That's right. It is the sequel to Paddington, which we didn't watch.
We didn't watch the original, the first movie.
I was able to follow most of it, I think, despite not seeing the first one, you know.
There was like, no parts where you were confused.
I followed 65%.
Matrix-like levels of
exactly.
being convoluted.
Yeah, the architect conversation got really complicated, but other than that. No, we went right to 2. Actually, Bonk, I'll let you explain why we went to it, because I think you were the one who caught a whiff of some of the discourse around
this.
Yeah,
Paddington 2 has been one of those movies that, like, ever since it came out, I've always heard like, wow, this movie is so fucking good. It had like a near, I think it's at like 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was at 100, but it like recently got a negative review that brought it down.
It was 100. It was the record it set was the longest a movie was at 100% with the most reviews. Mm-hmm. So it got 245 fresh reviews mm-hmm. before one rotten one came in, which by the way, I looked up the rotten one because it was like from last year, mm-hmm. like years after the movie came out. And I like, it reeks to me of like, I'm going to do a sensationalist thing. Because you'll see with video games sometimes, like a score that's way too low just so people will see it on Metacritic and click and be like, what the fuck is this asshole say? Yeah. And it worked because I clicked and it was from filmauthority.com.
Well, they're the authority on they film. Are. They know what they're talking about.
Yes. Eddie Harrison of that website said Paddington had evil, beady eyes and ratty fur and was not the Paddington he remembers from his childhood.
Oh, so that's why. He didn't mm-hmm. like.
Yeah.
Anyway, shout out to that reviewer, I guess, because you said him by name. but yeah, it was always I was very curious about this movie because it was very well reviewed. And on its face, it doesn't look like necessarily the movie the kind of movie I would expect to garner such positive reviews. Because, you know, I never knew anything about Paddington. I remember the original. When I say original, I mean the first movie coming out. I know Paddington right. Bear has like a long storied history.
That's the thing I was trying to remember is like, is this from something? And I looked it up and it's like, oh yeah, it's a book from like 1958. Yeah. And apparently it was really big in England. And there's been a billion books of Paddington.
Right. Yeah. So when I say the original movie, I'm talking about the one that became that came out before Paddington.
Yeah, like 2014.
Too.
Yeah, I think Nicole Kidman was the villain. I was looking up some
really?
Stuff about that. Yeah, yeah.
So I was always just really curious why this movie was so good. What was so great about it? I didn't read any reviews because I didn't want to spoil it for myself because mm-hmm. I knew I'd be watching it. But yeah, I figured if nothing else, it's a really cute bear and that would be enjoyable to watch. But holy cow! Do you hear that? We just heard a weird sound. Dan's going to investigate. It sounded like some kind of alarm. Probably has something to do with the impending snowstorm, perhaps. Unclear. I will let you know any updates as I hear them. Dan, we got any updates? Dan got some underwear. That's what the alarm was. It was just the underwear alarm, the new underwear alarm. He'll have some fresh threads cradling his scrotal sack.
Yes, well, get back in here.
And hopefully he will derive pleasure, non-sexual pleasure, from the soft touchings of that high thread count fabric against his nether regions.
Yes, you've convinced me to get fancy with the underpants because I've only had the same like Gildan six pack from Amazon for my entire life.
I was folding the laundry and I folded Dan's boxers and I was like, this is such a like hard material. And it saddened me to think about my husband and his precious, precious dick and balls.
My goodness.
Being, you know, touched, held in by such horrible, corrosive even fabric. It was just terrible.
It is the cheapest. I mean, that is how I've always shopped for underpants, is you just go to Amazon, you type in underpants for dudes, and then all of a sudden it's like, here's six for like $12. Like, that'll do. They're just flannel, whatever bullshit. And I've always bought those. And you did convince me to get some, like, not crazy rich person underpants, but like $20 for some underpants.
That's the thing. It's like just a simple thing. It doesn't break the bank, right? It's obviously more expensive than, like, you could probably spend $20 to get a pack of 10 or something for, like, mm-hmm. Fruit of the Loom or Gildan or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's just a small luxury that improves their quality of life. It's just a little way that every time you put it on, you're going to be like, I treated myself. And this feels much better than the brand I was previously using.
It is noticeably better. Mm-hmm. It really is. It feels very free. I'm wearing the Gildans right now, and mm-hmm. I feel like a damned fool.
I feel like there are so many instances where things are just overpriced just for the sake of overpriced, whether that's it's just a brand or whatever. But there are a lot of instances where, you know, if you're willing to pay a little extra, the quality is magnitudes better. And it doesn't even have to be like $100. It's just the difference maybe between like $10 and $20.
Just bump it up a notch there.
Bump it up a notch, yeah. And I think you will benefit from it.
Yes. Well, thank you for the suggestion. I can't wait to try on the new underpants that were just delivered.
Oh, yeah. Are they sporting?
I didn't open it yet. I'm not sure. We're going to have to see. Okay. So,
well, I'm excited.
It's a new world. So.
Yeah, I'm very excited. All right. Sorry, the underwear alarm interrupted us. And
yes, where were we on Paddington? We were...
I was just about to talk about how delightful it was.
Yes, it is delightful. The film is delightful. So you talked about it not being typically mm-hmm. the type of thing we would go for. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like there are a ton of like kids movies and certainly, you know, CG-heavy kids movies and stuff that come out and parents say, oh, it's great, our kid loves it or whatever. Like, we're not going to see fucking Frozen, even though we know kids love Frozen. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this one, did we just see enough people that were like adults and liking it that didn't have kids?
Well, yeah. And just for me, it was just the overwhelming positivity around it. I figured at the very least it wasn't going to be bad.
Right, right.
Worst case scenario, I would say it's not for me, but you know, I knew it wasn't going to be bad, and it was for me, and it was very good. So it
was extremely good, and not in a, like, this is good for a kids movie type thing. Like, mm-hmm. I think this is a genuinely enjoyable... Here's the thing about it, is it's heartfelt in a way that, like, I feel like a lot of kids movies will do obvious story beats to kind of do the cheap mm-hmm. tugging at the heartstrings type stuff. This one, everything just kind of felt earned and earnest,
yes.
And it just felt like it came from a really sweet place. It came
so
from
sweet.
Directing and writing that cared about these characters and everything. Thing. I thought the depiction of Paddington and the voice was really, really great. Like, I cared about this fucking bear.
Yeah, I mean, first off, very, very cute. The CGI was very impressive. I mean, obviously, he's a CGI bear living in a world filled with real people and real, you know, real sets and stuff. So normally that contrast would make it really obvious, especially when you have something that's covered in fur like that. It won't look great. But I mean, I'm not saying that he looked real, but it looked great.
I wasn't distracting by any means.
Yeah.
No.
And it was very expressive animation.
The eyes were good.
Done. Yeah, his voice was adorable.
The hard stare. I love the way that his eyes kind of changed there.
Yeah, so he's just this little bear who's like an orphan bear that was rescued by these two other bears and just grew up with a set of principles and kind of like this optimist view on life.
Very
and
polite.
Very polite. And he just wants to change the world so that it reflects, you know, the positivity that he expects from it. And,
yeah.
You know, he's very honest and he doesn't ever think that anything's, you know, not like unsavable or
yeah.
not worth helping. Like, he always tries to make things better. He's just wonderful.
He'll look at people that, like, everyone else says, like, oh, they're a lost cause, they're a terrible person, mm-hmm. and he will, like, talk to them and get to know them and, like, find the good in them
yeah.
and kind of change their heart a little bit.
Yeah, one of the things that I really like about his character is that, like, even though he's this, you know, adorable, really positive guy that everyone loves, he still fails and he still kind of sucks at a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like when he tried to work at the barbershop and he tries to shave the judge's head.
I think that was the scene where I realized, like, I think I'm going to like this movie because I went in with a little bit of skepticism uh-huh. just because it wasn't my, like, genre. But yeah, when he starts vibrating around and everything and it just turns into, like, the slapstick Looney Tunes thing of, like, oh, my foot's in a pot and I've just shaved the back of this judge's head and now I'm slapping marmalade on it to try to stick his hair back on and he got caught in the fan. And all that. It was all just so...
Everything that could possibly go wrong with
it. Yeah. It was really, really slapsticky in a way that I liked a lot. And mm-hmm. and also when he's the window cleaner and it's just like a lot of, like, you know, silly, like, oh, I'm trying to get this pot up to this bucket of water up to the...
It's too heavy for him because he's a little bear.
Yeah. It's just a lot of fun visual gags. And like, he's just so like, oh dear. Like, he's just so like, he means so well.
Yeah. And I love when he was cleaning the windows with his butt.
Yes,
he's
yes.
covered in fur.
And one thing I liked that they did a couple times here was they would have like a very silly, very specific song playing about like, here's a song about washing windows or whatever. And then you would just see there's like this band just kind of playing and singing the song, like a live band. I thought
it
was pretty cool.
That was really cute. Yeah, that's one of the recurring things. Obviously, marmalade sandwiches are recurring, which was an adorable thing to eat. I never had a straight up marmalade sandwich. Have you ever had marmalade?
I don't think so. It's I didn't have jelly until a few years ago, you know?
I'm curious about them now. I feel like it's probably something that's just really simple and really yummy.
It's a cute thing for a little talking bear to be obsessed with.
Yeah. One of my favorite sequences in the movie was, believe it or not, Paddington goes to prison and then breaks out of prison.
Yes. I didn't expect that either. There was a brief moment near the beginning when, the cops are like arresting him and like his hands are up and everything. I was like, is this going to be like The Fugitive? Like what the fuck? Like I didn't steal that book. I don't care. Like,
Yeah. Cause he gets framed for stealing this adorable little pop-up book that he wanted to get for his Aunt Lucy for a birthday gift. He's just mean.
That's
so
the plot. Is he wants to get a nice birthday gift
he
for his Aunt Lucy.
Pop-up book.
Yeah, and that's why he goes to prison is because he's trying. And that's why he's getting the jobs. He's trying to like earn enough money. It's like $1,000 at this antique shop. And Hugh Grant. Sorry, if you were going somewhere.
Oh no, you go. Continue.
Okay, Hugh Grant is the villain. What's his fucking name?
Phoenix
Buchanan. Yeah. Yes, he is hilarious in this. By the way.
Yeah, he does a great job.
He just totally nails what this guy should be, this incredibly narcissistic actor who is it's like something like his grandpa or his dad or something was this magician in this woman's trapeze act and I forget what the whole deal was. Basically, she made this pop-up book and put a bunch of clues in it that will point towards a treasure that wound up being in like her organ or something. Yeah. And he knows it because his dad or grandpa was the magician. So he steals the book, basically, that Paddington wanted to buy. That leads to this whole chase and everything. And that's why they can't prove it was Hugh Grant. So
he frames Paddington for the theft.
Exactly.
Much.
Yeah.
Hugh Grant's character is just like that perfect, like where he's like super narcissistic and greedy and self-serving, but it's like covered by a thin veil of just like saccharine sweetness.
Yeah.
It makes it even more insufferable. My favorite sequence was in the jail when Paddington first gets there and he goes to eat his breakfast or whatever meal it was. And naturally it's absolutely disgusting. It looks just like, dry oatmeal with like pepper in it.
And like a hard bread, right?
Yeah. Super hard bread. And he's like, goes to talk to the chef, but everyone's like, don't talk to the chef, he's this evil guy. But naturally, Paddington wins him over by showing him a marmalade sandwich. And then they go on this culinary exploration of all these different desserts and whatnot. And they make marmalade together. And it's just absolutely adorable. And all the prisoners end up baking and making all these fancy desserts and little macaroons and fancy cakes. And it's adorable.
Yeah, the tone of the prison by the time Paddington leaves is so different. Because first of all, the hapless Paddington is working the laundry and accidentally gets a red sock in there. So all of their clothes turn pink.
Right.
And then the whole like dining area starts becoming like you talk about the macaroons and everything. It just goes from this like total like stereotypical Shawshank, you know, mess hall or whatever to just the nicest place. And they're all cooking these specific things.
It's so adorable. And the prison itself, like there's just flowers everywhere and everyone's decorating. And like the big tough guy from the beginning that like threatens to kill Paddington has like a poster of a puppy in his cell now. It's just so cute.
Do you remember when Knuckles the chef is still in like, you know, hard ass mode and he gets the ketchup on it and he's like, well, hang on, what's the ketchup out? And he puts the mustard on it and just keeps like rubbing it in and making it worse and worse.
Paddington thought that mustard would get out ketchup.
Like they were like this like chemical reaction with
and then he has this tiny little fuzzy paw and he just wipes it all around the guy's apron like he's finger painting. It's so cute.
And he's not trying to be a jerk or anything. He's like, he actually thought that was going to work for a second. He doesn't know any better.
Oh, Paddington.
Really, really good.
All the prisoners love him by the time that they start plotting their escape.
A lot of character actors I recognize. Brendan Gleeson plays Knuckles the chef, and you know guys that were like several of them were in Edge of Tomorrow actually. Some of the prisoners and stuff. A lot of guys I've seen pop up in a lot of different things. Like there's the city councilman guy that's kind of like this hard ass like in the neighborhood or whatever. And he was the thinker in Suicide Squad. Remember the bad guy?
Okay.
Yeah, he's the one that makes like a terror alert system, like a color-coded terror alert system for Paddington, basically. While everyone else is like, because Paddington was such a great, like he does to the prison earlier in the community, it's very obvious that he just makes everyone's lives better. The guy delivering the trash, you know, the woman that works at the newspaper stand. And so, like, when he gets arrested, I feel like the whole community outside of, like, this one asshole is like, something's not right here. And they're making flyers and all this stuff.
He just hated Paddington because he was a bear.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I love the sequence when they're plotting their escape. And once it starts happening, I guess it's after they plot it, it has that like model of the prison.
The diorama type thing? Yeah. So cool.
And then it goes from the diorama to like them actually tunneling out of the bottom. It's just really visually cool.
They do a couple things like that that I thought were awesome. Like when they're showing the pop-up book of London, like they did a thing where it was like, I don't remember if it was like a dream sequence or it's like, I think it was Paddington imagining taking Lucy around London, mm-hmm. but he's like walking around through, like they zoom in on the pop-up book. Mm-hmm. And so it's like this animated thing, but it's all pop-up book except for like Paddington who's walking through everything and weaving between them. Like, that's the thing, is that, like the montages, the laundry montage, the washing the windows and everything. Everything has so much heart and it's like creative and there's this whimsy to everything that like, if you, I can't imagine someone like, I'm kind of a skeptical, I wouldn't quite say cynical, like moviegoer or anything. Maybe with kids stuff I am. I don't really give it the time of day, but like, I fucking loved it just because it's so good and earnest and everything. I can't imagine the type of person who could see this movie the whole way through and just be like, bah, I don't like this. Like,
yeah, it's just immediately gets you because this the story is, you know, it's simple, but it's great. Like, there are a lot of adventures that happen from between the beginning and the end. Paddington really goes a lot of places and meet a lot of different characters. And I love how, like, even the people that seem, like, I don't want to say irredeemable, but, like, the people that are made out to be the bad people, like, you know, the prisoners Paddington escapes with, they kind of just abandon him because they want to leave the country and he wants to find his family.
And they lied to him about, like, hey, we're going to help you clear your name. And
And Phoenix, Hugh Grant's character, obviously, he framed Paddington and he's, you know, trying to get the treasure for himself. But even at the end of the movie, those characters are redeemed in a way, you know, like the prisoners go and save Paddington. That was such a dramatic scene when Paddington was like trapped in the train cart under the water.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I was seriously worried. Like, I knew they weren't going to let him die, but I was like seriously worried.
There was a brief moment where I was like, they wouldn't, would they? That'd be insane. I feel like I would have heard if they just like let this adorable bear drown at the end of the movie.
Oh my God.
But anyway, he doesn't go into like a coma for like 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you notice during the train part that the grandma was just totally ready to smoke? Phoenix Buchanan, because she has this gun that she finds in the back and she's like, don't bring a sword to a gunfight. And he's like, well, those are like, that's a dart gun. And she shoots it and a dart hits him right in the middle of the forehead. And she's like, oh, it is. Like, she didn't know. She was ready for that to be a bullet, just blow his head clean off.
She hated him from the jump.
Understandably. The family's very wary of him. The family's pretty good too. Like, they do a scene where they kind of break into his house and they're trying to, you know, cover for it and everything. Like, I think everyone in this movie was cast extremely well.
Oh yeah. Just so great and so sweet and, you know, all different too. Like, even the kids, like the young boy, I forget his name, the son.
The J-Dog, you know, wanted to be Jonathan or something.
Yeah, he was ashamed of his love for steam cars, and then by the end he's like, no, my name is Jonathan and I love steam trains, or whatever they're called.
Even this little kid who like barely had any dialogue or whatever, like he had a little arc there and everything. Like, I feel like this is just so well put together, you know? Oh man. And Hugh Grant, like the little parts we would get with him where it's like, you know, he gets a kind of a baby face turn at the end when he just wants to entertain in prison and everything.
He has a captive audience.
Yeah. He's like narcissistic, but he does love like entertaining and like being a theater man. But the part where he's up in his like hidden, like plotting part of his house, and he's just got all the mannequins with all of his, like from when he played, you know, Macbeth and he played Scrooge, and he's like talking to them all and doing all the different voices from when he was that character. Uh-huh. Like, that was a really fun, like bad, egotistical villain thing to do.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, totally. And I just love how huge his fall from grace is when we hear that he's in dog food commercials, and then we see the actual dog food commercial where he's dressed like a dog. Like, I thought it would be like, oh, he's the owner of a dog and he's talking about how great the dog food is for his dog, but he's dressed as a dog and then he eats the dog food himself.
Yeah. And I love it when Paddington roasts him about it, like on stage, and like the whole crowd's just like laughing at him, like, ah, you idiot, eating dog food.
But I don't think Paddington knew he was roasting him. I think he just repeated what the grandma said.
Or misheard. He's like, wait, you actually eat the dog food? You had to eat the dog food? And everyone starts laughing. It's like, man, Paddington, fucking insult, rap battle here. Yeah, I thought Hugh Grant was awesome here. And I haven't seen him in a ton of stuff.
Really?
Not really, no. I mean, honestly, the only thing I really know him from is the whole Scandal thing. Like, that's, I never saw, like, what's he known for?
Well, he was in so many things. He was in Love, Actually.
That's the one that we saw together.
He's in Bridget Jones's Diary.
Never saw that.
I mean, I've seen him in so many things. Like, I can't even remember right now. But he's just one of those, like, omnipresent actors that's just been around forever. He still looks exactly the same as he did 20 years ago.
Is he always so good?
Yeah, like, he's a great actor. Yeah, he's a great actor.
I love the part when they had those, you know, they'd been doing like police sketches of all of his different disguises. And like he's looking at it, he's like, oh, yes, no, I don't recognize him and his dazzling blue eyes. It's like, wait, it's a pencil drawing. How do you know? It's like it's a drawing of him and he's just imagining how beautiful he looks or whatever. Like, very funny.
Yeah, his house is really cool. It, like a lot of the sets are awesome. I especially loved his house though because all the wallpaper was like so intricately painted and like all the different decorations was just so cool. And then the Browns' home as well had really awesome wallpaper and design and stuff. That spiral staircase and the tree mural thing is just really cool.
Yeah, all the visual design of everything in this was so good. Mm-hmm. And you know, I talk a lot about like I know like whether it's video game plots or movies, like sometimes like I worry that I come off like a robot that like doesn't ever get emotionally affected by anything I see in a movie. But like there were parts in this where it was like when the family is so wrapped up in trying to clear his name, they forget to visit him and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so he goes back to prison and he falls asleep and he's crying because like he was sitting there like waiting for the family to show up for visiting hours and they don't show up. And he's like, oh, did they forget about me? And like, I found myself actually like legit being like, oh man, I'm so sad. Like, oh, he doesn't know. Poor guy.
Yeah,
you know,
he doesn't know. And that was after Knuckles told him that like his family, it was just a matter of time before his family stops visiting or forgets about him. Like, oh, first they're going to miss one and then they're going to miss the next month of visitation.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that's what happened. So it's really sad. It was sad to see him.
Yeah, and then at the end, you know, when he does, like, they fly Lucy and the aunt to show her real London instead of just the pop-up book. And it just ends with the sweetest close-up of him hugging her and saying, like, happy birthday, Aunt Lucy.
It was incredibly sweet. Everyone from town is, like, telling Paddington everything, like how grateful they are for everything that he's done for them. And then they all back away and it's Aunt Lucy there. And it's just so emotional. Like I actually started tearing up. I was just so moved.
Yeah. I was not used to feeling like that and watching a movie where it's like, wow, I really care about this character. I really want the best for him. Like the arc is so good. You know, at the beginning, like we hadn't even seen the first one, but I feel like the movie sets up who this bear is, who he lives with, what his personality is like. We set up what the conflict is going to be. Oh, he went to jail, which again I didn't expect. We do really fun stuff in the jail thing. We have the sad kind of like right before Act 3, and then we have the big escape and train stuff and action sequence and the super happy ending. Like it is man, it's hard to say having not seen a lot of these like movies that are kid friendly that. But I remember as a kid watching a lot and feeling that it was more just kind of rote and like, okay, well, obviously this happens, this happens, this happens. And on paper, this isn't that crazily different, you know, just, you know, happy ending and whatever. It just feels like it's all pulled off so fucking well here.
Yeah,
you know?
Really, really well executed. Everyone plays their part so well. And, you know, I think I've talked about this on the podcast a lot too. Like, I don't usually like happy endings. Like, I don't like when endings are 100% happy. But in this case, I absolutely loved it. And if it was anything less than what it was, I would have been disappointed because that fucking bear deserves his Aunt Lucy's warm embrace.
Yes.
He deserves everything he wants in life. He's so precious and I don't want him to come to harm at any point.
Oh, I feel the exact same way. And like, I find myself excited for a third one now. They're making it now, which by the way, this director is doing the new Wonka. And he's got a lot of the same actors in this. And I actually recognize, well, I recognize some of the stuff he worked on. Garth Marenghi's Dark Place and The Mighty Boosh and like British kind of comedy type stuff. And I think that's an interesting choice for a director to make a movie like this. And I think he brought some really good sensibilities there, like comic timing.
Exactly. Yeah, the comedy chops for sure. And that's the thing too. I think a lot of like movies that are intended to be like family friendly, like for both parents and kids, they really miss the mark when it comes to the humor.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll either be like just this is really dumb and only meant for kids, or it'll be like this really specific reference that only an adult will get. So
or
it's like
winky innuendo.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Heavy handed innuendo. And this was just like, there's no way you can't find Paddington desperately trying to hold on to a electric razor while it's buzzing. And then he's vibrating and just eyes wide open, unmoving.
I feel like this is so universal, the appeal of this movie, that if I saw this in another language without subtitles, I think I would still enjoy it and basically be able to follow it, you know? Like, I think that's telling of its quality, you know?
It, I thought this was, I love, was it, not Spirited Away, Kiki's Delivery Service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that movie as well. And I feel like this is similar to like being a really excellent movie that someone of any age can enjoy.
Oh yeah.
Just really heartfelt and sweet.
Yeah. And just dealing with, you know, common themes that I think everybody can relate to. And it's just a, man, I really, really liked it. Do you think, would you ever have interest in, not necessarily for the podcast, but just, you know, someday if we're looking for something to watch, just pop it on the first one?
Sure, yeah.
I heard that was really good too. I just don't think it had the, like, the, you know, record setting. You know, sure. It's like 94% or something, you know?
Yeah. What was the quote? If you're nice and polite, the world will be right.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. And then what was the Knuckles thing? Like I don't do nothing for nobody for nothing. Yeah. Yeah. Just a lot of fun writing and stuff, you know? I couldn't give this more of an enthusiastic thumbs up.
Oh, it's fantastic.
And what a nice surprise, you know, that like normally, like when you brought it up as a possibility, I was like, yeah, I mean, anytime you bring something up, I'll be like, yeah, let's check it out. Mm-hmm. But like this one, I didn't know what to expect going in. And I came out being like, that is one of the better movies I've seen in a while.
So fun. Yeah. I didn't for a second think about how much time was left. No. It just flew by.
The pacing's incredible.
Great pacing.
Yeah. It's the opposite. We talk a lot on this show because when we watch bad stuff, we'll pause to, you'll get tea or I'll go to the bathroom. Be like, fuck, there's an hour left. Mm-hmm. Like we would pause here and I'd be like, shit, we're already halfway done. You know, flies by.
It was just fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So Paddington 2, we watched it on HBO Max. And again, if you're worried about watching the first one, look, you can if you want to, but like I felt like I lost nothing by going straight to 2. Mm-hmm. And it is a just incredible, just short, fun time.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And if you didn't think you were going to watch it, so you listened to this without watching it, I feel like you could still watch it and appreciate it. There's so many things that we didn't talk about.
I feel like if it was on, you know, TV or something, or for whatever reason I wound up seeing this again, yeah. I think I would just find myself smiling at the happy parts and getting invested again. Yeah. Like
once I can watch my nephews, I definitely want to watch it with them.
Oh, that'd be a great one. Yeah. Yeah, so thanks for the recommendation, Bonk. That was an excellent one. So I hope you, if you've seen it at home, I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. And we want to give a special shout out to our patrons.
Shout out.
Over at patreon.com/paintingthestream.
That's it. It's a website.
That's it. It's very simple. You go there and you hit the enter key on your keyboard, and it'll take you to a place where you can do a $5 tier. That's all we got.
Just $5.
That's the only thing we offer there on the Patreon. And what it offers to you is you get early access to episodes.
Wow.
You get ad-free episodes.
Wow.
You get access to our Discord.
Wow.
Ever-growing, awesome place. And for you, written for you by Bonk, you get a personalized Bonku. Bonk, do we have anyone this week?
We sure do, Daniel.
Who do we have?
This week, we are honoring our friend Sarah.
That's Sarah.
Sarah with no H at the end. So just
an A.
Sarah.
Got it.
Simple Sarah.
Could be an H. Wait, you said no H. No, I was trying H. to think of other things it could end with. Just A pretty much, right?
And when I say simple Sarah, I mean the spelling. I'm not trying to suggest that Sarah herself is a simple person.
We know nothing about your intellect.
She seems, she's likely very deep and a complicated person.
We all are.
We can only make assumptions here.
Yes.
This Bonku is for you. The rain was pouring and Sarah stood in its midst. Empty were her eyes.
I like that. I can relate to the standing in the rain. I don't know if my eyes are my eyes empty?
No, they're filled with life and love.
Oh, are they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, I like standing in the rain. You know that. I like walking in the rain.
You have a weird, derive a weird level of joy from wet clothing.
Yeah. A running bit where I pretend to be like vaguely sexually into my clothes being kind of wet. But in reality, I just like the rain a lot. And I like the smell. And I like, if it's a little drizzle, I'll walk around in it. You avoid like the plague.
Not the plague.
You have me check my weather app several times a day to make sure you're not going to get wet.
I go for like 2-hour walks and I don't want to be rained on because I have my headphones.
That's true. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for being a patron. Patron. Thank you to everyone who listens to this show. Bonk, thanks to you for joining me each and every week. And we'll be back next week.
Underwear.